Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report.
Welcome back to Redemption Report. This week's podcast features a really, really good friend that I've had for many, many years, someone I met going back about 10 years ago now. And he and I went to church together, and he and his wife really loved on me through a really difficult time of life, inviting me into their home, beginning a part of Bible study. And so I remember early on getting to hear his testimony, so I'm excited to share Chris Reeves with everyone today. So Chris, thank you for joining us here on the podcast.
Thanks for letting me on. I've never been on this end of it.
Yeah, when I told you about this idea of a podcast, you were like, I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time, and so I've been thankful for the input you've been able to share, getting this thing going and going with everything.
I'm grateful with what God's doing with it, too.
Yeah. So when you and I first met, I remember shortly after, you know, we had a lunch at an Indian restaurant, and then we started hanging out at your house. And then I came across, it was Denver Nuggets tickets somehow, and I invited you to come with me. And we were sitting there watching the game, and I asked for your account of when you came to Christ. And that's kind of a first time I ever heard your story like that. So, but that was a long time ago, so I don't remember all the details of it. So I'm interested to go back down that road.
We've had a lot of chances to share and kind of hone God's story in our lives too. So, gotten rid of a bunch of distractions and kind of tried to zero in on all the God parts and less of the Chris parts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all in there.
Yeah,
yeah. So, can you tell everyone just kind of where you grew up, what your family life was like growing up, kind of a little background of who Chris Reeves is?
Yeah, I grew up with Mom and dad married, one little sister, year and a half younger than me. A moral household, but not a believing household. I would even go, we just weren't curious is what it came down to. I cannot recollect thinking back to my childhood. I can't recollect wondering what happens after life. I can't recollect wondering, is there something greater out there? It was just, this is life and this is kind of it. Mm. And never really questioned any of it.
So growing up like that, when was the first time you heard about Jesus? Did you go to church at all? Or how did you first encounter Christ?
I had a few friends growing up. I remember going with a buddy to Sunday school one time in like first grade. I remember nothing about it except that I was the only kid in cowboy boots. And then no real interactions with it outside of, I had a friend in high school who attended a youth group, and it was nothing but an inconvenience because he couldn't hang out with us on the evenings of the week that we really wanted to hang out. So no real interactions with church.
Yeah.
Seen anything on that.
As a burden or a hindrance and inconvenience because
yeah.
Church is the thing taking away my friends.
Right, right. And I wish I could find him, contact him, and apologize to him at how the things that I said about it, trying to be the temptation that drew him away.
Sure.
Is really guilt inducing.
Sure, sure.
But God will take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know Christ, you don't know better. You don't
right.
know that it's a problem that way. So
right.
So when was the first time you kind of, you know, maybe a little bit in first grade when you heard about, like you said, you don't remember a lot of that. When yeah. did you first kind of hear that Jesus wasn't just a name to get thrown out there to some Christian thing?
I was an adult, I believe 21 years old. I had in high school had many, many friends, kind of a social chameleon, fit in anywhere. And immediately after high school, through gossip and lies and whatnot, all of that was removed. And so I'd really entered a season of loneliness and being an extrovert and real big people person. That was painful. And so I tried to fill it with whatever I could. And like I said, growing up in a moral household, I didn't really find any party scenes or anything, but that season really rocked me to where entering 20 years old, trying the solo scene, just go to work and get off and spend the evenings alone, wasn't cutting it. Mm-hmm. That's why my DVD collection got so big, actually.
Chris has a massive movie collection, rivals the local library, I think.
But yeah, entering my 20s, I found people that would hang out with me. Unfortunately, it was at bars, places like that. And being underage, I didn't see that as worthy of getting in my way. So we went ahead and tried to get around those laws and whatnot, just so that I could be with somebody, around people and whatnot. I'd found my rock at the bottom when I hit rock bottom, when that didn't seem to satisfy anymore. It went from fun and, you know, exciting and having these people to the people are kind of doing their own thing. And then I feel miserable, not just from the effects of the alcohol and whatnot, but it was just like, surely this isn't it, right? Like, this is my existence now. Ended up joining the Army because my father and I were not getting along, and I knew that would upset him. So as soon as I was about ready to ship out for basic training, I was at the bowling alley drinking with my buddies, and it was karaoke night. We went there every karaoke night and threw down some Garth Brooks and stuff. But the guys that I ran with all had our cowboy hats and whatnot. And this girl walked in and she had a cowboy hat on and immediately caught my attention. So I asked the guys to like bring her over, and she spent the night bowling with us, hanging out with us. And she was there for the karaoke stuff too. And I had asked her, like, what are you doing tomorrow? She said, going to church. Do you want to go? I'm like, yeah, I'll go. I had no idea what I was doing, but I saw a pretty girl and I'll do whatever you want
to
do.
Let's check that box of not being alone. Like, you got to be with somebody too. So it's like a double whammy.
Right, yeah. Right. And so I attended a cowboy church in Greeley, lived in Westminster. So it was a good hour and a half drive for that companionship, whatnot.
That's Colorado for anyone that doesn't know the area. So yeah, the northern part of Denver. Yeah.
But I attended with her until I shipped out to basic training. Got through basic training and, not through it. I didn't even start.
Okay.
I got through in processing.
Okay.
And, it was miserable. Like, everybody's just yelling at me. And
did you get the haircut?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Okay. My dad was mad, so mission accomplished, but now what? Right, like, I set out what I accomplished to do, and now this stinks. I was given the opportunity to quit. I went ahead and took it. And so now I had a week's worth of Army under my belt, or 3 weeks worth of Army under my belt, and I was coming back home, was going to surprise this girl, and got picked up from the airport and taken to the bar that she was at, and she was there with another guy, and it rocked me.
Yeah.
Because that was supposed to be it, right? It had been until I left.
That was your backup plan. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I had kind of receded back to my ways of just the lonely movie hop and stuff.
Isolating, yeah. Yeah.
and then I received a social media message from a girl that I had gone to high school with. We were never friends, but I recognized her, and she, like, friend requested me. and I accepted it and asked, I messaged her. I was getting bolder than I had been. So I thought I was smooth and slick. And I said, you know, I don't want to just be Facebook friends. Well, I want to be real friends. So would you like to go get lunch? And she said, yeah. So I went out to lunch with her and asked her what she's doing tomorrow. And she said, going to church. Do you want to go? Yeah, I'll go to church with you. I'll go wherever you're going.
And you hadn't been to back to church since that first time?
Right. I hadn't been back.
Okay.
I walked into church that morning, and the sermon was on, it was in Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount on the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. I remember that. I also remember that being the only time that I had ever been, had a Bible opened to me, despite having gone to church for weeks prior. And so this was way different. I attended there for a while. Me and that girl dated for a few months, and then I found out that she was dating another guy as well. I'm like, goodness gracious, like this, seriously, this is it. This is life for me, right?
Yeah. You're always the other guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But there was something different this time. Because this time I had been having the word poured over me. And I remember when I had at this point confessed Christ. But I remember feeling guilty during my baptism, because I was asked the question, do you love Jesus more than anything? Mm. And I vividly remember looking at her and lying and saying, yes, I love Jesus more than anything, because I liked her more than I liked Jesus. And it was in this moment that Christ shined and showed himself to me, because he showed me that I was not alone, and that despite people leaving through whatever circumstance, through gossip in high school or through girls picking a different guy or whatnot, despite that, Christ was there. And I had never had that before. So that was really my interaction with meeting Christ, and found that he's going to fulfill this need that I've had for, you know, my entire adult life to this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. So to get clarity, you started seeing this this girl who invited you to another church, and you started going there, and then at some point in that few months of dating her, you made a profession of faith where you, you know, audibly said, you know, that you had accepted Christ as your Savior, and then in getting baptized, you had this kind of realization, maybe I don't love God as much as I thought, or, you know, I love her more. And then it was later when she broke things off, that was kind of when you had that realization that Christ is more than enough, or, you know.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Christ is enough.
Yeah.
And he's there to meet that need, that I didn't even this is all retrospect, right? I didn't even know that was what I was chasing, up until trying to put together a testimony for youth group events and whatnot. But, and realize I was chasing companionship. I was chasing, companionship's the word for it.
Yeah. And so at that point, I guess it was made clear to you that could be found in Christ, or?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he showed me that before, he showed me that by doing it before he showed me that, on the pages.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, going back through and reading, like, oh. He's been doing this all along. Like, this is great.
And so at that point, you feel like your relationship was actualized, I guess. It wasn't just kind of a thing to be a part of a people or to get in good with a girl or something. That was in that breakup and that realization that Christ made himself known. That was kind of when you actualized your relationship, would you say? Or?
Yeah, yeah. It also, it's given me, I had struggled for a while with assurance of salvation. Like, how can I know that I'm saved? And that really sealed that assurance up, is knowing that when all else left, Christ never did. I still had that companionship. I still had that friend that sticks closer than a brother. I was never far away from access to him. That was really special.
Yeah. Yeah. So what changes occurred in your life following that? You know, you, had that relationship made very clear. And then what did you see in your life that changed following that?
There was a zeal for Christ. And it's funny because one of your previous interviewees had mentioned this, a similar, reckless zeal almost.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'd wrecked a couple of relationships with some family, with some friends, because of it, but I just could not shut up about Jesus. I wanted that companionship. So the girl that I that had broken up but brought me to the church that was teaching me the word encouraged me to date her sister. And so I went ahead and pursued that. And that sister is today my wife. And it's great that God, I was just reading in the truck in the parking lot here, Psalm 37, right? Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And it was once I got everything in line, companionship's not a sinful thing to desire. But when you put it above honoring God, it becomes the occupant of the throne of your heart. And so once that order had gotten correct, he gave me what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. in the form of a spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. That obviously is, a wonderful addition to your faith journey where, you know, God didn't just give you faith and relationship community in a spiritual sense, but he also gave you that physical, community faith with your spouse.
Who's Faith?
Yeah, his wife's name is Faith, and he had got two different types of faith.
So. I'm loaded. I'm ready.
There you go. So, what challenges have you faced since following Christ? You know, life as a believer is, you know, we still live life just like we did before. Nothing really changes as far as that goes. I mean, our hearts are starting to be changed, but what challenges have you experienced in following Christ?
God did a really cool work at my salvation. There was a lot of in the progression of my salvation, right? Like I don't have a day, but there was a season. And a lot of things changed. There were things that I was doing, thinking, saying that were defining of who I was that were almost like the overnight drop. Mm. Like that's just not... that's not even enticing anymore. I think the hardest part was those things that the portions of the old man that stuck around and had to die to self daily on those fronts. I think that was the hardest part was to say, well, I got rid of these things so easily. How come these aren't going away?
Yeah. What were any of those that you feel comfortable sharing?
Addiction to pornography.
Yeah.
Any of the substance stuff was gone.
Okay.
But a selfishness was definitely still pretty defining.
Yeah.
On that front.
Yeah. Were there any did you feel like any sacrifices had to be made where you were like, I'm a believer now and so normally I would do this, but now I do this instead? Any of those type of where as a Christ follower or as a child of God, you know, this is different because of that relationship.
Yeah, and it was on that substance front, actually. There was that entire community that had kind of held me over, mm-hmm. Was no longer appealing to me. And that was a sacrifice. Those relationships, I tried to hold on to some of them, but as soon as I removed the one aspect of it, it was just kind of over on their end.
Sure.
And that was a sacrifice I had to make for my relationship with God.
Right. That's cool. I know, you know, even we use the term backup plan and previously in this conversation, but I would imagine a lot of times, you know, you make a change and you might want to hang on to it because it's like, well, if this thing doesn't work, at least I have that to fall back on. And if I cut that out from underneath me, I no longer have a safety net. Like, I'm all in on pursuing Christ. I no longer have that way to resort back to, because if I cut that off, then it's no longer there. So,
right. Yeah. That wasn't the case on that particular front.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, yeah. I love Jesus and I don't want to participate in this particular thing anymore. I'm happy to do something different with you guys. And there was no desire. So it was this, okay, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kind of hurt, but knowing Christ was there didn't hurt as bad as it otherwise could have.
Yeah. What are some of the greatest joys you've had since following Christ? What's something that sticks out in your mind where you say, I would not have had this if not for my relationship with Christ?
Man, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the companionship of Christ. And not just the companionship. I would say to be the subject of his pursuit. I love the book of Hosea, where God sends his prophet to go marry the prostitute, and she walks away. And this is a picture of God and his people, and God keeps telling Hosea, go get her, right? Like, go after her. Go buy her back. She sold herself out. Go buy her back again. And that picture of God's relentless pursuit, despite the pains of being left, right? Like all those things that I do to him, despite all that, he still relentlessly pursues me. So to be the subject of his pursuit is my absolute favorite thing. That's all I've ever wanted, I think. And to know that there's somebody that's doing that for me, I just feel so loved.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that because, you know, my story is similar throughout life of wanting a friend, wanting someone. And I've turned to things that, you know, were not healthy or relationships that were very detrimental, but I was getting what I wanted. You know, I had that attention that wasn't healthy, but, or good, but I longed for something so much. And it sounds like with you also longed for that desire, not someone who just puts up with you or just says, yeah, you can tag along and, you know, kind of like, you know, patting you on the head and like, good boy, like, okay, you could be but like one, like you said, relentlessly pursuing you, where even if you didn't pursue him, he's still pursuing you. Even if you say, God, I could care less. He's like, no, I love you. And I chose you for the foundation of the earth. That's really beautiful.
Even if I actively leave him, he's still coming after me, right? Yeah. All those times that I chose other things other than him after making a commitment to Christ, and he's still coming after me. That's just unbeatable.
Yeah, yeah.
To be the subject.
Well, someone hearing this story and, you know, understanding like your journey and getting to experience a little bit of that with you, what would be one takeaway from that story that you'd want to leave them with at the conclusion of this episode?
God is enough. God is enough. He meets all of our needs. And that can mean so many things to so many people, and it means everything to everybody, really. But you know, financial needs are met. Emotional needs are met, and in my case, that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
He was meeting this need that this craving that I had for companionship, and he was enough to where when all of it was stripped away with him in the picture, I still had something.
Yeah,
and it turned out to be I had everything I needed. And so, yeah, my send away would be God is enough.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've definitely seen that. And you joked about it at the beginning, you know, like there's been more of a Christ inserted into your testimony. I really enjoyed hearing that because there were a lot of elements that I knew bits and pieces of, or even things that I didn't know that I can tell you've been able to tell your story more frequently than when I first met you. And, you know, it's been cool to see that when you accept Christ, like you grow. And, you know, over the 10 years of knowing you, I've seen that growth take place because, you know, 10 years is a long time and, you know, life ebbs and flows, but I'm thankful that God has, you know, been that priority in your life, and you've been able to share that with others, and it's evident today as you share it.
I'm really excited what Redemption Report is doing, what you're doing with it, because we're told in Scripture that there is power, that we will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? Like these stories are God's stories in our life, and they have power. They have measurable power to overcome a powerful enemy. And so they're worthy of being honed and told. And so I'm really excited what's going on here because of that. So I appreciate being able to participate.
Well, thank you. I'm excited that God is blessing and growing this as time goes on. Before we wrap up entirely, I think it'd be good to just share a little bit briefly of what you're currently doing. I know you work in the HVAC industry, and you have a heart for reaching widows. So if someone's in the Denver metro area and has any interest in learning more or has any questions about what you're involved in, could you share just a little synopsis of what you do and kind of how they can get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I started my own HVAC company 2 years ago after being in the industry for about 10 years. And our emphasis is to just serve people. We'll fix heaters, but we serve people. And so we named the company Shepherd Heating and Air for that reason. And we want to be a shepherd to these people, protecting them from not just the elements, but, you know, other kind of predatory companies that are out there, looking to make money instead of taking care of the folks.
Yeah.
Providing like a shepherd provides, right? Food for this flock. I like to provide knowledge, education on how the system works, how your system's supposed to work or whatever. And then, yeah, just provide a good quality service without taking advantage in price gouging and whatnot. And we do have ministry within our company for widows. Want to care for the ones that God, particularly special to God. So yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it can be really scary. If you don't know about what's going on, like if you're like me, where like, I don't know where my intake or outtake, like which one I've FaceTimed with you multiple times, trying to figure out how my system works or different ways that it goes on. But, just the fact that you are doing that, but also helping, you know, widows, which can be easily taken advantage of, and you're just wanting to help. And you've told me numerous stories of different opportunities that you've had to do just that. So it's not just in word, but indeed, but that logo on your hat, so the Shepherd Crook. So
Shepherd Crook, yeah.
Right there. So, well, thank you for joining us. And what is, do you have a website or any?
Yeah. ShepherdHVAC.com is our website. And then, you know, there's contact pages on there for everything. We have a Google business page now too. So
you're legit.
Yeah, it's on there. We got a pin.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you joining and sharing your story.
Praise God.
The report of redemption shared today is something every one of us can relate to. The story of one who has a longing he desperately tried to fulfill with a variety of different things until finally he came to the realization that only a relationship with Jesus Christ could satisfy. Psalm 107:8-9 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." I can speak from firsthand experience to how Chris has been satisfied with his Lord and has in turn been a blessing to countless others. If his story has encouraged you, be sure to leave a comment and I'll ensure he receives it. TWareProductions.com is the place to go to find more content and ways to contact me directly. So far, this podcast has been downloaded, listened to, or viewed over 400 times and in 6 different countries across the globe. I'd love to hear from you wherever you may be listening from. Next week, we'll hear the redemption report of a man who gave me life, my father, Gary Price. See you next time on Redemption Report.